nations. That's going to be tomorrow. So Tom or whoever wants to.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I may, if I could have your indulgence, I might first on the information items go to number 29 on the list, the DOT GFP mitigation plan. And my reason for asking that is we have a presentation here with not only a GFMP staff person, but also a DOT person. And if we could do that one first, that would allow Bridget then from DOT to continue on with her work priorities tomorrow. If that would be okay with you, we'll have Hillary and Bridget do their presentation, then we'll go from there if you'd like to continue on.
Sure, let's do that. See how long it takes, and then we'll either adjourn, recess for the day, or continue depending on where we're at. So yeah, let's do that.
Thank you for that opportunity to revise the agenda here. And Hillary, I'm gonna turn it over to you, let you do introductions and start out the presentation.
All right, thanks, Tom. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, and Secretary Hepler. I'm Hillary Morey, Environmental Review Senior Biologist with South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. And with me today is Bridget Carnahan, and she is the Senior Wetland Scientist for South Dakota Department of Transportation. Today, we just wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of a partnership program that we've been working on. So this actually started last June of 2019, and it finally culminated with the development of the Aquatic Resources Management Partnership between Game, Fish, and Parks and DOT. Next slide, please. So when we talk about aquatic resources, that includes lakes, streams, rivers, and wetlands. And before we get into our partnership plan, I'd just like to give you a little bit of information on how wetlands play an important role in South Dakota. Wetlands provide a lot of benefits both for people, for wildlife, and for the ecosystems that they're in. They can improve water quality, filter out pollutants and sediment. They can provide flood storage and flood attenuation, provide recreation for hunters, trappers, fishermen, bird watchers, and they also provide habitat for over 200 different species of wildlife in our state. And these wetlands are a limited resource. They make up about 3.5% of the state of South Dakota, and they have a long history of conversion and degradation all the way back to the late 1800s. So these diverse resources do require a fair bit of protection in our state to be able to benefit the people, wildlife, and ecosystems that depend on them. And fortunately, Game, Fish, and Parks and Department of Transportation can both play a role in their protection and help to serve as stewards of our resources. Next slide, please.
Approximately 75% of highway construction on state highways here in South Dakota is paid for with federal aid. This is a number that we talk about a whole lot in our building over at DOT. But with federal dollars comes compliance with various environmental regulations. The big driver of that would be the National Environmental Policy Act, also known as NEPA. NEPA established a national environmental policy and provided a framework for environmental planning and decision-making by federal agencies. So the NEPA umbrella includes several different regulations. I've got a few listed here, one being the Endangered Species Act, National Historic Preservation Act, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, and Executive Order 11990. We'll be focusing our energies on the Clean Water Act, which is implemented or regulated by the Corps of Engineers, and then the Executive Order 11990, which is regulated by Federal Highway Administration. Those are kind of our drivers for the work that we do. Next slide, please. So in 2008, the EPA and the Corps of Engineers released the 2008 mitigation rule. It basically revised and clarified requirements for mitigating unavoidable impacts to waters of the U.S. So the goal being no net loss, of course. We're replacing and mitigating any wetlands loss. Basically, mitigation can be in the form of building a new wetland, restoring function to a degraded wetland, as Hillary was alluding to earlier, We could also protect or work to protect a high-quality wetland that's at risk for development, or by purchasing credits from a third-party provider that has worked to restore wetlands on a property that they maintain. So with that, DOT is required to provide mitigation for impacts associated with the transportation projects on waters of the U.S. These sites do need to be managed in perpetuity, and with that, we kind of naturally thought that finding an agency to partner with that has, you know, extensive work with land management expertise would be the way for us to go. So our requirement to provide mitigation combined with GFP's experience and knowledge about land management presented this unique opportunity for collaboration between our departments. Next slide.
So when we drafted this plan as a group, we made sure that each agency's strategic plans were reflected, so both DOT and GFP. And as Bridget just mentioned, DOT has a responsibility to provide for mitigation for any impacts from their transportation projects. And we, GFP, have a long record of being in the business of managing public lands and wildlife habitats. So we thought that this would be a really beneficial partnership for both of our agencies. And we hope that this partnership will help both agencies better fulfill their strategic plan objectives. Next slide. So some of the mission drivers that this plan will touch on for us at GFP would be fostering partnerships, cultivating stewardship, some of our objectives from our strategic plan that we hope to cover would be enhancing hunting and trapping opportunities, serving as stewards of our outdoor resources, utilizing partnerships with private landowners and public land managers, and then also this plan would really tie together between Game Fish and Parks and DOT with the Second Century Initiative, and that initiative's goal is to increase resources for habitat management and expand pheasant hunting opportunities in the state. So, you know, this ties directly to the Aquatic Resources Management Plan for us as well. Next slide.
The DOT strives to make better lives through better transportation. Our necessary safety upgrades and maintenance of our transportation infrastructure may result in unavoidable impacts to waters and wetlands. The purpose of DOT's mitigation program is to provide that compensatory mitigation for those unavoidable impacts. As I said, we do follow rules and regulations through the Corps of Engineers and also through federal highways. No net loss of wetlands is kind of an important item that we push for when mitigating for wetlands. Next slide, please. In the plan itself, we thought it was really important to highlight not only the benefits to both of our agencies, but to the public. You know, we're using public resources, we're enhancing habitat, and then hoping to have additional public hunting access for the public. The public also would then receive the benefit of having these transportation infrastructure improvements, and those projects, you know, we have them anticipated we have our projects scheduled, and it's really important because mitigation is a big component of delivering projects on time. So with having a mitigation partnership, it's one of those items that we're able to satisfy and keep our project moving and on time.
And some of the benefits that Game Fish and Parks will receive from this partnership, additional wildlife habitat on the ground through these wetland restoration or enhancement projects, additional public hunting access and opportunities, and also partnerships with other outside agencies. Next slide. So as far as the mitigation sites, Bridget mentioned in a previous slide that these sites are protected in perpetuity, so they would need something in place to protect these sites, like an easement, conservation easement, or something along those lines. And hand-in-hand with that goes long-term management. So after a site is established through the mitigation program, and it's released from the required monitoring from the Corps to make sure that these sites meet the criteria, then it needs to be managed for things like weed control, mowing, fencing, signage, trespass issues, you know, all the things that Game Fish and Parks already does in a lot of our game production areas. So we thought this would be a really good partnership because these activities are compatible with what we're already doing. And any of the recreation opportunities that these sites would provide would be compatible with wetland mitigation sites. So those sites need to be, you know, protected from future development, and having them as some sort of public hunting or public recreation area is a great way to do that. And on this slide, we included a number of logos of other agencies. So these are other agencies that we with Game Fish and Parks could also partner with in addition to DOT that could provide for some of this long-term management, especially in areas of the state where we may not have the personnel or the resources to keep up on those sites, say, northwestern South Dakota, where we don't have a lot of staff. Next slide, please. So as far as how this partnership is going to move forward, we're going to meet every quarter, so we're actually going to meet this October to kind of discuss different sites that we're going to develop together and maybe identify some potential sites. We felt like it was important for this group to remain dynamic, to be able to discuss new sites and be able to keep our partnership new and fresh. So that we're also going to plan to meet every year so that we can discuss the plan itself and the related memorandum of agreement between the two departments to make sure that everything is working well. So we want it to be effective, but also be able to keep it fresh so that we're able to meet our goals. Next slide, please. Just a quick wrap up. The benefits of the partnership, you know, are pretty evident for both agencies, we feel, and for the public. And the public really are the ones that are going to be the real winners out of this. We're going to plan to enhance our state's natural resources and also help grant more public access to these properties for recreation. And I know it's late in the day, so we really appreciate your time and your patience and your attention. And please let us know if you have any questions or comments.
Anyone have questions, comments?
Commissioner Whitmire?
Yes, Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah. Thank you. Great presentation. I'm just kind of wondering, DOT-driven acres that we need for mitigation. Any idea on an annual basis what that might come to?
So we have our strategic plan, and with that we have kind of forecasting for what our transportation needs are. Usually this is done in our four-year STIP. So we have forecasted needs. Sometimes that varies or sometimes they're a little bit overestimated, but we don't really have a set number on mitigation. It generally is, you know, project specific, but identifying sites in advance of our impact and setting up these mitigation sites, especially with the assistance of Game Fish and Parks, it's kind of a big task and would really help us for project delivery. In general, if mitigation is needed and we can't go purchase credits or there's not a bank available in that general service area, not having mitigation has the potential to delay a project by 12 to 18 months. And so obviously that's a huge delay for the public to have to wait for these infrastructure updates and, you know, potentially safety upgrades on roadways that we can't deliver because we don't have a very integral component of the project. So there's not really a set amount that we're searching for. It's like, as I said, it's more project driven. The immediate need is more so west of the Missouri River because we do have third party providers selling credits, establishing banks east of the Missouri River. So that is likely where we would start our first, boots on the ground, trying to get something put together.
Other questions, comments? If not, thank you very much. Good presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
So let's do this, and then we'll be done. Heather's going to give us the license sales update, which is number 23 on the revised agenda anyway. And then we'll be done for the day.
Thank you.
Begin at 8 tomorrow.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Secretary Hepler, and Commissioners. Heather Villa, Wildlife Administration Chief with Game Fish and Parks. If you turn to the very last page in your commission book, page 150, that is going to show you the license sales up until August 31st of this year. So I just wanted to hit on a few notable items. You can see that our habitat stamp sales continue to rise as expected, and total we're looking at about $750,000 that we've collected for habitat stamps. And we'll be getting into more detail on that tomorrow. We're going to give you guys a look at our spending plan and how we've organized everything to get ready for this new legislation. If you compare our small game numbers from 2020 to 2019, we have about an 11% increase. With fishing, we're looking at about a 20% increase. So our overall sales, including habitat stamp, we're looking at a 39% increase. So that equates to just over $2 million that we've collected up to this point in this year, higher than this point last year. And I would be willing to take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Heather. Questions? Comments?
Yeah, the higher sales, that's good to hear and everything, and probably just because the reason that happened is we kept our state open and people were willing to come here and be out in the outdoors and enjoy our state. So I'm glad we was able to do that and keep that option open, and it helps health department also.
Yeah, thank you for that comment, Commissioner Bees. We are very fortunate that Governor Noem made sure to let people know that the outdoors are still open, and we are definitely seeing that with all of our additional license sales this year.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
Other questions, comments? If not, let's recess until tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Mountain. And we'll begin with number 17, at least on the revised agenda, which is public access opportunities, unless the department wants to go in a different order. We can do whatever order you want. But
no, Mr. Chairman, I think that would work out fine until we can just go down the list of information items until the 9 o'clock Central time frame for when you want to reconvene the public hearing portion.
Right. That'll work good.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything for today? Not okay, we'll see you in the morning. Good night.